horror movies. What is their appeal? Why do we shell out hard-earned cash to have our pants scared off us? And why do we keep going back for more?
All right, hey everybody, welcome to Girls Will Be Ghouls. This is episode 12. I'm Zena Dixon, realqueenofhorror.com, and I'm here with my awesome co-host Ashley Blackwell of graveyardshiftsisters.com.
Happy Women in Horror Month.
Today we're going to be talking about Blaxploitation, horror, and then after that we are going to discuss the 2001 slasher Valentine.
A friendly reminder, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. It's Girls Will Be Ghouls. If you didn't know that already, of course you're listening to us. But yeah, our mobile platforms are those two. So if again, for your convenience, you can find us there. No big deal. But yes, and I don't know if there's any other mobile places we could probably do. I guess SoundCloud and stuff like that. But we poor. So stick to iTunes and Stitcher if you can, hopefully.
Well, before we, you know, get into our theme discussion and movie, I just wanted to see how you were doing and what you were up to, especially since it's Women in Horror Month.
Very, very, very busy. Thank you, everyone, for the groundswell of support. As far as my Facebook page is just, well, not my Facebook page, but the Graveyard Shift Sisters Facebook page is just blowing up because of the Women in Horror Month. So thank you guys for all your support. Thank you for reading these articles. Again, I do the whole It's Black History and Women in Horror Month blog series almost every year. This is my third year doing it. So it's, you know, this year I wanted to do something a little bit different. I wanted to highlight you, the women of color, the black women who are kind of making history today, who love horror a lot. And, you know, I think you guys don't get as much recognition as you deserve. And so I wanted to highlight your voices to give you, you know, to give you some, to do a link dump, you know. Yeah, Zena's a part of it too. She's part of like the five horror bloggers you need to be reading. So yeah, so cool stuff like that, and just helping out with Women in Horror Month in general and keeping things afloat on social media. So I'm happy to always be a part of it. It's super busy, but I enjoy it.
I was going to ask if you had any upcoming conventions, especially this month.
Oh, I will be, not this month, I wish, but no, not I wish, because I don't have no money until March, hopefully. God, Monster Mania is coming up at the second weekend of March, so that's going to be insane. I probably won't go on Sunday, but definitely Friday and Saturday, and I'm going to work up the nerve to get some sound bites and talk to some people. So yeah, I'm excited about it, but I'm a little nervous because I'm excited. I'm always excited, and I'm gonna, you know, make an outfit, but kind of like take one of these boxy behind t-shirts that, because they never make horror t-shirts for women.
No,
I shouldn't
say
never, but mostly they don't, and try to DIY it and make it look cute. So, you know, see, I can be girly.
I'm excited to see your outfits. So
it's not a big deal. It's honestly, I'm just kind of bringing in the top, kind of to make it a little bit more snug and just make it look a little bit cute. Make it look cuter than it is now. So, okay. But yeah.
So who are some of the people that you're looking forward to seeing?
Seeing celebrities costs money, right? So. I always pre-plan in my head like who I'm going to like really get in line to meet and greet, because it can add up. And you know, how much do you want an autograph and a picture versus, I don't know, that pocketbook with Frankenstein on it? You know what
right,
I mean? Like
right.
It's like it's one of those things, like that handbag that looks super cute. That's like $60 because somebody made it,
mm-hmm.
but it's like super professional looking. So it's like it's that kind of a gamble. So right now, For this Monster Mania, it's Tony Todd and Heather Langenkamp.
Okay.
So
awesome.
Those are my two.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing pictures and hearing about it.
As I always do.
So
yes.
As you know, I started up doing my Madhouse Monday movie reviews, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yes, I saw it. It was so great.
God.
Can I say your husband is super goofy and I love that?
God,
but go ahead.
Yeah, I know. Don't you just want to like lick his face? Like, and he listens. He listens. So he's probably like, oh my God, I can't believe her. But yeah, that movie sucked. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm so exhausted. Like, you know, when people try to, like, they'll ask me, hey, what was it about? And it's like, I try to explain it, but then I get so tired that I don't know. I didn't really want to see it, but it was for free. So it's kind of like, all right, yeah. Might as well. And also, I'm having a giveaway. You can win yourself an Xbox One, even though I'm attracting all the 12-year-olds. It's still cool, you know? No.
I'm going to Xbox One.
They're going hard for it, too. Like,
really?
Yeah, right. Hard. Like, I mean, I don't mind. You know, go crazy. Tell all your friends. Like, so, yeah, you have until March 1st to enter that one. And that's pretty much all that's going on with me. But I have to ask you something, and I meant to ask you our last show, but I guess, I don't know, I forgot or something. But so what do you think about Tyler Perry's boo on Madea's Halloween? How do you feel about that? What's going on?
I'm not a soundbite person. Like, it's like, I'm not, I mean, I have feelings about things, but I want people to understand that Ashley rarely gives two damns about most things that are going on. Most things. Because I just don't have the time or the mental energy to do it. And I want to focus on more positive things.
Right.
But that being said, I'm just kind of like, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I don't know how Tyler Perry feels about horror in general. But then to center Madea in a, I guess, some kind of a supernatural story or whatever is, I'm assuming it's going to be as silly as it sounds.
Right, right.
And it's not going to be something you would take very seriously. Now, that's not to say that I take horror seriously all the time. That's not the case at all. Because I do love horror comedies. I love some of the dumbest movies ever. But at the same time, it's like, I think if I were to have a little bit of a stickler of an issue with it, it's just that the issue, I think, because maybe if I do come off a little bit too seriously, is because Black people making and being in horror in general, we're not taken seriously enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just kind of just like, this is the last thing we need. Madea, just to me, especially in this scenario, she's the drunk aunt you kind of want to keep upstairs during the party because she's just going to embarrass you and your family, and just you don't bring her around proper company.
Right.
Yeah, I said it. And so, so with that being said, I think that was kind of the only issue I have, I started a very small, intimate hashtag. I think it was like Madea horror movie, because somebody had brought up like a movie title, like, what would this be called or whatever. Then people kind of went off the handle. Of course, we don't have any. I don't have, because I wasn't expecting this question, so I don't have any of those titles in front of me right now. But some of them were actually kind of funny. Now I'm gonna find some, so give me a second. Okay. I'm like, well, I don't want to cheat y'all, so let me see if I can find them.
Sure.
Why did you feel compelled to bring this
because up? I used to not be a fan of Tyler Perry. You know, nothing against him, it's just his movies, they're not my style.
Right.
I have watched them, even some of his non-Madea movies, and I just think that it's important that we support him, because I remember reading this article about him and it blew my mind how, I forgot which big company wanted to buy his, and he didn't sell it. Obviously, they was offering like a lot of money for it. And during the interview, he said, well, I knew that if I, you know, gave him the rights or went and partnered with, like, I know he's partnered with Lionsgate. But it was another one. I'll have to find it, see if I can find it. But
I think it is Lionsgate, yeah.
Yeah, he said that he knew that if he was supposed to, you know, fully give it up, that he would no longer have control of what he wanted to put out. And some of the stuff, you know, he funded it. And I absolutely love when filmmakers, when people fund their own dreams. So once I, you know, heard him during that interview, I felt like I had to be more supportive towards him. So I started checking out, you know, some of his movies. And they're not bad, you know, just, you know, sometimes with the Madea movies, it can be a little dramatic, a little bit too dramatic for me.
Yeah, that's my problem too.
Yeah, that's my issue with it. But when I heard about this, I knew it was coming. I knew that he would try to make a horror movie. And I know, like, as you said, I'm pretty sure that it's going to be like a horror comedy. But I will check it out because I like supporting him. I want him to make, like, a serious horror movie. Because he did an action. I haven't seen that one. Though I know it didn't get the greatest ratings, but so I can't really speak on it personally.
Mm-hmm.
But I just would like to see, you know, what kind of horror movie he would make. And as you said, like, I wonder if he even likes horror movies.
Well, yeah, that too. So I'm going to push back a little bit, and not in an argumentative way, of course.
Sure.
I'm just going to say, now, there's no reasonable person on this planet that's going to knock his hustle at all. Like, I think what I've come across and what I feel personally, everyone respects him as a businessman. Not everyone, and I'm in this camp too, not everyone really respects him entirely I think that's the wrong word. We just to make things plain, his work just does not appeal to us at all. And as someone, and you know, someone like me who's given his one or two or three of his movies a reasonable shot and have, like, watched them all the way through, like, I think the recent one I just watched was Temptation. They're just not just not movies I would consider good. And so, like, I don't support his work, but I do really respect him for what he does. Because my $7 to $12 is not going to make a difference. He has his market, his community, his audience. He has it. So he's going to make, you know, millions and millions of dollars off of that market. I'm just not in that camp, and that's okay. So it's not, I mean, now you saying I want to see him make a serious horror movie. He may be able to do that. I don't know. Maybe. I'm not totally against that idea at all. But, you know, that's how I feel. I'm in this, great businessman. You know, I really like his story, but his movie's not, I'm sorry. No, they're just not for me. I'm sorry. But yeah. So I was going to say, so we're going to link it to the show notes if you want to have a chuckle or a laugh. I don't know if you'll like most of them. A lot of them are kind of like, you know how, like, Madea says, like, hallelujah.
Yeah,
like, so a lot of them,
makes me mad, though. Like, I don't,
yeah, I don't think it's just even, like, you're just like, no. So there's a lot of ones that play on that. Like, I think mine was, One of mine was like a play on The Howling. It's called The Hellering. So that's one of mine for the hashtag. Madea Sleepaway Camp. There's some other good ones. I can't find them right now, but yeah. Dungeon of a Mad Black Woman. Okay, that made me laugh. The Fanged Family That Prays. Daddy's Little Ghouls. So yeah, I mean, like, people went crazy with it, but yeah. So, you know, I did that, and I started that hashtag in jest. Like, I just wanted to have fun with it because, again, I'm trying not to take everything so seriously. While at the same time, the serious mindedness of me is still in there and it's still prevalent. But, like, it's you can still have fun with stuff. So yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry. I have to go back to something. Please.
That's fine. Mm-hmm.
That movie, Temptation. Oh my God. Like, I remember I did not want to see it. It looked predictable. And that girl, the one who stars in it, she was on Full House. And Eve's, I just never really cared for her as an actress. But, you know, I decided to watch it. This was long after it was in theaters because I just, I don't know. You have sometimes just watch stuff because you know it's going to make you mad. Like, yeah. I know that's just, I don't know why I do that to myself. Well, first off, the thing that really got on my nerves, or the person who really got on, like, on my nerves out of everybody, is Brandy's character. Yeah. You know, she was always, I don't know why they hired her. She was always wearing her hoodie and, I gotta go, bye. And it's just like, okay. Then on top of that, it's just like, you know, I get it. You know, Christian's strong belief system. And, you know, I consider myself a Christian. I get that. I really, really do. However, the whole message of the movie is if you cheat on your spouse, you'll get AIDS and end up alone going to church. Like, that's pretty much what I got. Like, that's what I got. And then on top of that, how she was going crazy over that guy. I'm sorry. He's not attractive. And she was, like, just throwing herself at him. And, oh, but I'm married. And she was, I don't know. I was so overwhelmed. And I was so mad. But I couldn't stop watching it. So, I mean, maybe that's his goal. Like, he wants to, Tyler Perry, to entertain people. Or, I don't know. I don't know if he wrote it. It seems like something he would write.
Yeah, I think that's the problem with, so the problem I hear, and okay, let me just, even not even from what I hear, from what I feel like, I think that's the problem with a lot of his films, is just like, things aren't that simple, and he makes them like, you know, they're so sophomoric. Like, no, like life and life situations and relationships are just not that simple. You can't, and it doesn't make for good storytelling. It just doesn't. It's just, you're bored and it is predictable. And you're mad too. Cause you're just like, you're just insulting my intelligence. You're not even wanting to give these characters any complexity whatsoever. It's just like, regardless of how you feel about cheating, whatever. Like, basically, I cheat on my husband, I get AIDS, and then, I'm alone. Like, what is that?
Going to church. She's going to church alone to meet her mom. Single.
And you make her mom like this, you know, you're not, you're just, not to say that women like her don't exist.
They do. I've seen them.
Oh, right. God. You see, yeah, I've seen them too, and it's just like, alright, like,
Wait, can I just say one more thing that made me mad, too? Just, this is the last thing, and then we can move on. Okay, the part where, and I don't care if we're giving spoilers. If you want to see this movie, I don't know what's wrong with you. Bryce, you know, he was talking to Brandy's character, and she was just like, Brandy's character, oh, I'm just so happy that I escaped from Harley. And then he just started screaming out, Judith! Judith! And, you know, she's just looking at him like, what? Like, can you imagine? I'm sorry. Can you imagine if you're talking to someone and they just start screaming out someone's name? Judith! Judith! Right? And you're like, what? And, you know, because he could have just said, oh, you know, Judith is with, you know, Harley or whatever. I don't know. Okay. All right. I got it out of my system. I just had to tell somebody. I feel so much better. Thank you for listening.
Okay. So I guess the moral is like, folks, I don't know. Like, you watch a Tyler movie at your own risk, I suppose. I don't know.
I mean, you will leave very, very angry and just fed up with everybody.
Yeah, it's just, it's for, his movies are for a specific audience, you know?
Yes.
You know? And I don't know, because Idris Elba's in Daddy's Little Girls. I haven't seen that one. So maybe that's good, because you get main candy. I don't know.
That one is actually really good. I like that one. I thought it was a cool story. It's not, it's dramatic, but it's not as dramatic as Temptation or Why Did I Get Married?
Oh, God, I refuse to see
it. I just watched the first one, and then somebody told me about what happened with the second one, and it just made me so mad. I vow to never watch that movie. Ever. And I hadn't watched it.
So is there anything else going on with you? I did see, I'm saving your tweets for Valentine's Day, which is, oh my God, that's soon. I don't pay attention to Valentine's Day. I think it's an such an innocuous holiday, but I saw your post for Wicked Horror.
Oh,
your other stuff.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Speaking of,
no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all I was going to say was, yeah, that's it. What's up?
No, I was going to say, I still owe you chocolate. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You do.
So you are my my very platonic heterosexual Valentine's. Yeah. I still owe chocolate, too.
Aw.
But, yeah.
Okay. Nope. That's fine. Whatever you can. You know, I'm so sick of people. Like, people just act so crazy around Valentine's Day. You know, half those couples who are going out, they never go anywhere. Like, so it's just like, go out all you want holding hands. That's the only time that you guys go out until next year. So, God, that was really negative. I'm sorry. So when we get back, we are going to get into our favorite blaxploitation horror films.
There was a show called the Not So Evil Episode Sidecast. It was a long name, Batman. No one could ever remember it. They released 25 episodes of brilliant film criticism.
And like that, he's gone.
Now, 6 months later...
We're back!
I didn't know we were gone.
We've got a brand new name, new movies to review, but the same old attitude.
Foul language and obscure references? Count me in!
Each episode, we pick a topic, watch four movies related to that topic, then bicker amongst ourselves to decide which film is the best.
We're the Theme Warriors!
Join Iris, Jeffrey X. Martin, Doug Tilley, and myself for Theme Warriors. Four people, four movies, one dynamite show. Catch us on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Horrorphilia Network of Podcasts, as well as the Legion Podcast Network.
That's the Theme Warriors! Don't want to sleep no more!
Who are you people?
Okay, guys, so we're back, and we are going to jump into our discussion on our favorite blaxploitation horror films. So, Ashley, would you like to start first?
Yeah, I want to start by giving a history lesson.
Yeah!
It is, because I am the horror black academic.
Yes,
and,
you are.
Basically, you know, it is Black History Month, and we would be remiss not to mention that. And I brought up blaxploitation horror because it's something over the past 3 years that I've like grown to like really love, and doing all the research, finding out really interesting things. And also finding out that when people say there ain't no black people in horror movies, I'm like, did you miss the 70s? Like, a lot of us weren't born in the 70s, but it was a decade that happened that our parents know of, where they got to see all of these cool horror films with the whole black cast, and they got to see them for like a dollar, you know, in their day when movies were super cheap. But yeah, so I mean, blaxploitation, I guess, I don't know too much about blaxploitation in general, but I do know kind of in like the mid 1960s when Sidney Poitier was doing like really mainstream movies and being in films opposite of white protagonists, that he was kind of like this. I don't know what the word is. It kind of a figure in films that black people could look up to. But, you know, with the Black Panthers and the Black Power movement and all of the race riots that were going on in the 60s, the transition into blaxploitation specifically was kind of a natural progression, because I think black audiences wanted to see, you know, movies by, for, and starring other black people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mario Van Peebles' father, Melvin Van Peebles, was one of the headliners of that. Sweetback, I think it's called. People are gonna hate me, but yeah, I'm totally blanking on the name of that movie. So, but I know Sweet Sweet Badass song. I'm saying it so wrong. So let me go back and look for it real quick, because it is up. It is queued up for me.
I think you're right.
That always is a tongue twister for me, that movie. I don't know why, but it is called, okay, where is it? I had it up. Okay, wait, hold on. Where is it? Okay, no, because I'm going to hate myself if I don't get it right. Yeah, it's Sweet Sweet Back's Badass Song. So yeah, that was one of the seminal blaxploitation films. you know, before Shaft, you know, before Coffee, Foxy Brown, all of those. So, yeah, I mean, that was kind of how things kind of got started. It was super independent before. I think when people realized with Sweet Sweetback, the success that it conjured, especially at the box office or at theaters, then that's when the bigger film companies started to, like, really, if we're honest with each other, you know, the film business is a business, and they're looking to make as much money as humanly possible. And so if Black audiences are gravitating more towards these particular kind of films, then every big Hollywood studio is going to try to make that film or trying to replicate it in whatever way. So Blaxploitation horror, like that kind of that sub-genre, is no different. So, you know, Blaxploitation is a play off of exploitation. You know that, you know, sex, violence, you know, but also this kind of a tale of a hero or a heroine or a character who fights back, who fights against the man, quote unquote, which is white people. Sorry. But, you know, so those were the kinds of empowering images that people wanted to see. Blaxploitation horror was no different. I think with Blaxploitation horror, it was just basically taking the old tales from, like, you know, your vampires, your Frankensteins, all of those kind of Hollywood monsters that we're used to, kind of reappropriating them into today's time. Well, not today's time, in the 1970s, with Black characters, protagonists and antagonists, and creating a film that speaks, again, does the same thing that Blaxploitation TM does. Some of those movies humanize the monster, like Blackula. It gives it context, so characters are more fully developed, and this really speaks to what the Black community was dealing with racial tensions and even in intraracial relationships with each other. You know, the good and the bad. So Harry Benshoff wrote an article called "Blaxploitation Horror Films: Generic Reappropriation or Reinscription," and I found this article in a book anthology called The Cult Film Reader, and I have this book, actually, so I recommend it to everyone. I haven't read all of it yet, but I did read this article in depth, of course. But he describes Blaxploitation horror films as a horror film made in the early 1970s that had some degree of African-American input, not necessarily through the director, but perhaps through a screenwriter, producer, and or even actor. The label Blaxploitation horror films thus signifies a historically specific subgenre that potentially explores rather than simply exploits race and race consciousness as core structuring principles. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of the basic idea. Black cast, black crew members, more or less, but it is a story that is it signified or coded as a part of the African American experience through these kind of supernatural tales. So there's that. So that's kind of my long-winded introduction.
Okay, well, I have a question. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about, because I think I've read somewhere when I was just, you know, looking up different Blaxploitation, like, horrors, that there are Black people. Maybe, I don't know how it is nowadays, but especially back in, like, in the 70s, that they didn't like it.
Oh, who's they, though?
That Black
people. So, if I can, oh, Black people?
Yes.
I do have a, I do have an article that I did on my site that I kind of talk about that a little bit. So it's basically like, it's kind of like Black backlash of it, because I think if I were to make an educated guess, I think it's split in the middle. Because talking to people like my mother who grew up in the 70s, who were literally like in high school in the 1970s, who were going to see these films, it's just, they loved it. So there are so many people, and please, don't even get me started on, like, everyone who talks about all the old Black people that we know or that I know who talk about how much they love Coffee, how much they love Foxy Brown. I hear Cleopatra Jones. I hear that name all the time. Like, you know, they love those films. But then you had other people, again, I guess, who kind of feel like these films were at the core, you know, the overall message was that they were exploitative, they, you know, that the women were just over-sexualized, that they really didn't have any agency. So I guess, you know, it was just because it was, I guess it kind of goes back to kind of like the respectability politics kind of a deal, or just like, you know, if black people aren't on film looking dignified at all times, then it's terrible, or it's not worth, it has no merit, or it's not valuable. And that's just not true. So I think with anything, literally anything you could possibly think of, there's going to be backlash to it. I mean, anything. So, so yeah, I think there were people there, of course, like anything, there are sections of people who didn't like it because they didn't like how black people were being portrayed. And right. There are other people who loved it because it gave them a sense of empowerment seeing those images.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that answers your question, but
no, it does. And then I was going to ask you, because you seem like, you know, a lot about it. What's the first, or what was the first like Blaxploitation horror movie that you've seen?
The first one I saw,
if you remember, like the
Blaxploitation,
you know,
or Blaxploitation horror.
Blaxploitation, like, horror.
Oh,
if you can, you know, remember, or just.
I think the first one. Now I have to. I will always give credit to Devour the Podcast, because I think it maybe 2 years ago, their February kind of retrospective was they did blaxploitation movies, and that's what made me, and that's one of the, and that's what made, because this was when Graveyard Shift Sisters was still new, and I was listening to their podcast. I think was it still? God, I don't remember, because I remember specifically I was in New Mexico because I was away on a conference, and I was listening to their one on Sugar Hill. I remember that vividly. I will never forget, because that was like before I was taking my plane back to Philly. And so I remember listening to it. So it was around that time. I don't know if that's before after Graveyard Shift Sisters. Now I don't remember. But yeah, it was around that, like, it was around the time either before Graveyard Shift Sisters, or like it was like when it was still new. So I want to say JD's Revenge.
Okay.
But I'm not entirely sure. But yeah. What was the first one you saw?
I was thinking about that. I don't know, because, you know, there are ones that people, this is when I was looking them up, there was some people, you know, comparing, like, you know, just different blogs and stuff. So I was just trying to research it, doing it on, say, like the people under the stairs,
oh,
you know, yeah. Saying how, oh, that doesn't count, you know, so what's that?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
No, I was just going to say that I don't know how people. Yeah, I go ahead, finish.
No, just with
you're
people.
You're right.
Yeah, just with people saying that doesn't count. Mm-hmm. And because I think that was the first one that I've seen that I remember. So, yeah. What were you going to say?
No, because I was going to say, because I was saying, like, the people, I think, like, black horror, I guess it has its phases. Like, it's not. I don't know, maybe I just feel like the 70s was very specific for what it was. I think that's blaxploitation. I don't think the people under the stairs was blaxploitation.
Okay.
Really, because I wouldn't call it blaxploitation. It's a black horror movie. Again, I'm a stickler for that term as well. So I was like, because I think Wes Craven wrote and directed it.
Okay, yeah, he did.
So
I guess then,
but I want to say that's where things get a little sticky, because I do want to say that I don't think that white people are not capable of writing a black horror film. I think that they are 100%. It's hard to say. Yeah, I'm trying to preface that, but there's no preface. I honestly do think that they're capable of doing it. I think it's important, but you know. But because if you're going to write, quote, a black horror movie, I think it's very important to at least have the input of your actors, if there's no one else on the crew or another screenwriter or director you can defer to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very important. I think that's a part of the process. I know that Wes Craven worked closely with Eddie and Charlie Murphy with A Vampire in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
especially on the script and the idea and the story concept. So that's aces. But I don't know about the people under the stairs 100%. I have to go back. I have a couple of books on Wes Craven, so I need to like read them again. It's been years since I did, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I mentioned the people under the stairs because I always thought that blaxploitation, that it was like, and you can tell me if I sound like an a-hole, okay? I always thought that it was, as far as it goes, even with horror, that it was mostly black actors, you know, and that they were taking on a stereotype and that there's humor in it, right? So I thought even with, I mean, because not every black person is poor. And right. he was poor and he was from the streets. And, you know, they called him fool, you know.
Weird.
So that's why and then even Leroy or whatever his name was with his hat. So, you know, I'm not bashing people who wear hats like that, but he's clearly from America and from the 90s. So, you know, you're not from Africa and not all like black people do that. So that's why I just thought it was that. And I mean, unless I'm confused and... You know, I know that I just thought that there could be, that it didn't only come from the 70s, that it can come from, you know, the 80s, the 90s. I haven't seen one lately. I'm hoping, at least that I know of, that I can think about.
Well, I will say Bones is more of a direct correlation to blaxploitation, okay. But I still didn't even call it that. I think, again, I think blaxploitation horror has its moment in time and it's encapsulated, but its influences are so clear, Tales from the Hood, I think that's that's influenced by blaxploitation horror. Other movies in general, definitely blaxploitation in general have influenced a lot of filmmaking, I think, from here on. And I think the same thing with the blaxploitation horror. So I think there are influences. I think you see it, it's very obvious in a lot of movies, and those are the two ones that I can think of that are really strongly influenced. But like, there are other like black horror movies, like we haven't even like we'll probably talk about it somewhere down the line maybe. But like Southern Gothic movies, like Eve's Bayou and Beloved, which people want to argue with me that aren't horror movies, I'm just like okay, whatever. Yeah, but this is why I do research and write essays, because you can't battle me. I got this. Like you can disagree. But you can't dispute.
You know, but that movie, Beloved, you know how I feel about that movie.
Right? I know.
It made me so mad. And then people say, it's terrifying. I wasn't scared. I was mad. I was mad the whole time when I watched it. I don't know.
I think blaxploitation horror movies, again, to your point about stereotypes, I think that they play with stereotypes, but I think they also... put a middle finger to them, to put it in layman's terms, because it's just like, in Blackula, for example, but Blackula, again, was a direct influence from William Marshall, who played Blackula. Like, he was just like, no, I, like, you know, he was a Shakespearean trained actor, but he also, like, he saw the potential of what Blackula could be. Like, you know, like, I love... Okay, so if you saw the trailer for Blackula and you heard the tagline where it's like, Blackula, Dracula's soul brother, you'd be like, what the hell,
yeah,
no. Right? You'd be like, what? But, like, if you watch the movie, like, you could tell, like, he wanted to bring depth to it. Like, and that's why I kind of, like, love the beginning, where the beginning is, like, kind of, like, the backstory of how Blackula became to be. Like, he was this African prince, and he had this... beautiful wife, and he went to Count Dracula, and he was like, look, I'm not down with this slave trade, you need to chill on that. And, you know, he turned him. I love the metaphor of kind of how Dracula kind of wielded his supernatural power, but also kind of his, like, you know, his white power I'm using a bad term there, but you kind of understand what I'm saying. He kind of wields it over him and kind of oppresses him and makes him he forces him into vampirism. And so I love those kind of ideas that they kind of play with in that movie. And so, and yeah, when then you have, you know, Blackula in the 1970s, and yeah, you see pimps, you see prostitutes, you see a flamboyant gay couple, which a lot of people have problems with, but it was the 70s. So, you know, it's like they weren't all that enlightened as far as portraying LGBT people. So, like, all of these, yeah, those were straight up, there were stereotypes across the board. But there was, but I think there is always maybe always, if it wasn't a straight up just dumb or silly movie, like with these horror movies, there was always kind of this balance of this character, there's more to this character, there's more complexity, and you see that. So, and another good example of that is Sugar Hill. So yeah, you're right. There's stereotypes abound, but there's always this, to me, there's always something more meaningful behind it. They're not just one note. You can tell, but mm-hmm. That's just my opinion.
Okay, well, let's dive into like the favorites.
Sure.
So what's your favorite? The ultimate favorite.
I've been talking so much. You go first.
Okay. well, recently, because of you, you put me on to the movie Abby. Because I remember seeing it and hearing about it, and I always wanted to see it. It's been on my watch it list, and it's streaming on YouTube. Oh, my gosh. Like, because I never really read the synopsis. I would just only see the cover. So I was just so shocked when I was watching it and outraged with her behavior. But I really, really liked that movie. I thought that the woman who played Abby, Carol
Speed.
Yes. That she did an amazing job. And it's... I mean, some of the, you know, as you know, the scenes are outrageous and, you know, the language, you know, dialogue. But, yeah, for those of you who don't know, Abby is about a woman. She gets possessed by, like, an African sex spirit. And she was such a nice person at first. And, you know, when she would do stuff with her tongue, like... I didn't find that, like, and I know I'm a girl, and I'm not bashing, whatever. I'm not attracted to girls, but I know when I saw that, like, I did not find that attractive at all. I was just like, what? Like, is that supposed to be her sexy face? No. I don't want it, but, yeah, so because of you, you put me onto something awesome about it, and I've read somewhere that they said that they were inspired by Rosemary's Babies. You know, I'm always saying that. You know, they were also that it was inspired by the 1968 Rosemary's Baby. So I thought that was pretty cool. So yeah, that's one of my first ones.
You're gonna have to send me that link because it's always Abby has always been directly related to. The Exorcist?
Yes, they said that too.
Yeah, so because I think like it's also called like the Black Exorcist or the Blacksorcist or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, it almost to the point where like, I think the people at, I think, who owns the Exorcist? Warner Brothers, one of those big companies, were going to sue them mm-hmm. because yeah, had, it was like, so close, closely related. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Abby is such a, like if you're a completist, you're gonna watch Abby. It's one of those weird movies. Yeah, because I didn't hate it. I actually kind of enjoyed it. It was bizarre as heck. But like, Christina, who did the documentary My Final Girl, who's kind of putting the pieces of it together right now because it's her master's thesis project. So it's kind of she has a lot of footage, but she's still kind of you know trying to create something that can get her a passing grade basically. But she met Carol Speed. She said she said she's kind of a nut. So and for some reason that doesn't surprise me. I don't know why. I feel bad saying that, but it doesn't. Maybe it's because of the movie. But yeah, she said like, you know, she met her. She said she's a little baddie, but you know. Aww. She was cool. Yeah. But yeah. I guess my favorite hands down is Ganja and Hess. It's that weird avant-garde art house film that if I were to describe Ganja and Hess, I would say first and foremost, it's one of those films where it's just like it's a big jigsaw puzzle and it just gives you the pieces of that puzzle and you have to kind of put it together for it to make sense for you. It is generally a film about vampirism, but it goes deeper. It's not just about someone who who develops a thirst for blood after being, you know, stabbed by I think it's called Murthia. It's the fictional African group of people from this long lost extinct group of Africans from Murthia. Or I think their group name was Murthia, and he was the main character in the movie, played by Dwayne Jones. His name is Dr. Hess Green, and he's an anthropologist, I believe. He's some kind of a doctor, and he collects these kind of ancient artifacts and studies them. And he hires an assistant who was mentally unstable. The assistant is played by the writer-director Bill Gunn, and one night, his assistant, who had an episode, stabbed him with this dagger, and then he went on to shoot himself. So he killed himself. Then that's when Dr. Green developed this thirst for blood. I'm sorry, I'm like blanking here, but yeah. Okay. So that's basically the first part of the story. So he is a vampire, but not in this stereotypical sense that you would think is a vampire. And then comes Ganja Maida, who's played by the lovely Marlene Clark, and she is this ornery, almost unlikable, bourgeois person. But again, she's that person on the surface. She's very cold and, you know, very just straight up mean. But the film allows you to get to know her and to get to know why she is that way. And then they have an affair. And also, Ganja is the assistant's ex-wife. Well, she's a widow. She doesn't know that he killed himself, whatever. It's one of those very long stories. I don't want to get into it too much, but it's not a movie for everyone. It's one of my favorites. It's beautiful. It's surreal. It's dreamlike. I love those deep movies, because there's always something to take away from it. You can watch it 1,000 times and have 1,000 different interpretations. So that's probably my favorite. It kind of skitters the line of blaxploitation, because, you know, when the studio who hired Bill Gunn to do this movie, they wanted Blackula 2. And he was like, you know, I don't want to do that movie. He said, but I'm gonna do it my way. And he did. And that, you know, there's a long history of the film being out of print and then back into print and being restored. I don't want to get into that. I don't want to bore anyone. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of, because I love this movie so much. So it brings out the best in me. So I love it. So okay. I'm done.
No, you're fine. I actually have a question about that movie. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a clip. I've never seen the movie before, but I remember seeing a clip. Okay, I'm sorry. I remember seeing a clip.
You are so silly.
I'm sorry. I remember seeing a clip, and, you know, it was. I think it was like the ending of it, and there was like a man who was, he was rising from out of like the water, but he was like naked, and mm-hmm. he was running towards. Why was he doing that? Why was he in there?
I don't want to give the movie away. You can't. Okay. It's not a.
All right. Sorry.
Watch that movie in pieces, you would be like, "What the hell is going on?"
Yeah, that's.
What? There's a fair amount of nudity too. I don't know if that arouses anyone's interest, but yeah. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I just thought I'd ask.
I can't. Yeah, it's hard to explain. Again, it's really hard to explain. Like, I can't explain it in pieces, but like I. Like, the Sweet Blood of Jesus wanted to be Ganja and Hess, and it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever. We're over that.
Okay. No, you're fine. That movie sucked. Okay. My next one is Death by Temptation. You know, I love this movie so much. And I don't know if you... I'm all right. Well, I was going to keep on talking about me and why I love it. I just think that it's great, and that, you know, I just can't help myself that whenever I see it on, I have to stop what I'm doing and then just watch it, no matter how many times I've seen it before. I think I watched it when I was like 5, and that wasn't
a good.
I know, right? I blame my mother. I don't know. She was watching it, so I thought I'd hang out too. It's not an appropriate movie for children at all. But I mean, I think I turned out all right. But basically, it takes place in New York, and basically, there's this woman. She's more of like a succubus. She's like demon. She's going around killing men. You know, she gets them to like mess around with her after she's like, you know, tempting them and flirting with them and trying to make them feel good about themselves. And then she kills them. Remember the first guy that she killed? And he was trying to run away and he was all naked. And I didn't feel sorry for him at all. Especially how he was talking to this girl earlier on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know him because he's the guy from She's Gotta Have It. So.
Oh. Okay.
You never seen She's Gotta Have It?
Nope.
Oh, I would recommend that one.
Okay. But yeah, it's a awesome movie. It's an all black cast. It was Troma's first, and I think it's their only all black.
No, they've got some more since
what
then.
What movies?
They got it. They're like, they got, what's it called? They've got some all black cast movies now.
Okay, well, that's good. But yeah, so that's for me. Yes, and also the one who played the succubus or the temptress, that's what they called her on Wikipedia. She, Cynthia Bond. I haven't seen her since in a horror movie, and I would really love to see her in a horror movie because her facial expressions is like, whoa. And the guy who wrote it, produced it, directed it, James Bond III. That's another one where it's like I haven't seen him active with anything in a long time, and I think it would be nice to. So, yes.
Yeah, I agree. I hate how they fade into obscurity. I feel like I recently, maybe within the last few months, looked up Cynthia Bond because I'm always researching. I think she has been acting as of recent, not as a super recent, but maybe she had been doing little stuff here and there. Mm-hmm. But I'm not, my memory is a little bit foggy on that. But
okay.
Yeah, it's funny. I think at Monster Mania, I want to say, yeah, just the one in August, something, because I never go, because the trauma table is always, like, it's always in the lobby. It's never in, like, one of the, like, rooms. It's always in the lobby. It's always, like, in the far corner of the lobby, right? And I rarely go down there, because, like, you're so assaulted by everything, and you're just like, if I spend one more dime. So it's, like, one of those things, right? And, like, because it's in the corner, like, yeah, I never really, like, if I go back there, I'm going to spend money. I know I am.
Yeah.
But something told me to go back there this time because I'm just, I think I was thinking about buying it or seeing if they had it because, you know, I'm trying to Pokemon all of these black horror movies. So, like, I was like, let me see if they have Death by Temptation. And I think I didn't see it at first because I was about to be real disappointed. I was like, oh, man, because I was just looking. And I saw, I think I got it on DVD for, like, $10.
That's such a good deal.
Yeah, so I was so excited when I finally got it. I haven't watched it since. I've been wanting to, but I haven't gotten really, like, up the energy or the nerve to do it. Because I've already seen it before. I was thinking about writing a review on it, which I might have the energy to do one of these days. But, yeah, I like it, too. I really did. I guess I can understand why some people don't like it, but whatever. I like that Lloyd Kaufman, the founder of Troma.
Yes.
I think he said it's like one of the best movies in the Troma library. So I thought that was really cool.
Aww. I really like watching just like, you know, when you pop in the DVD or whatever, or the Blu-ray, and it has like that title page and they just play that music, that Face to Face song by Melba Moore. I love that song. That's what we used for our previous episode because it just makes me so happy. And I feel like I'm in the 80s. And I always wanted to live within the 80s when I remembered. So.
I also think Ernest Dickerson did the cinematography on that movie, too. I think.
Okay.
So I thought it was pretty cool. You know who Ernest is, right?
Yes, I believe so. Didn't he? What did he do? Didn't he do?
He directed Bones.
Yes, and some episodes of The Walking Dead as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what's yours if you have another one?
Sugar Hill. Easy.
Yeah, maybe he's gonna say that.
Do I have to even explain it? I mean, this is a movie that everyone should see. If you want, next to Blackula and Scream, Blackula, Scream, this is a good example of blaxploitation horror. It's one of my favorites. We did it for Friday Night Horror once.
Yes.
I don't know what else to say about it. It's good. It centers around a woman. It's a female protagonist in this one. And it's all voodoo and zombies and spirits and killing gangsters one by one for revenge. So, and there you go.
And she dresses awesome in the movie.
Yeah.
So, I like that
one
as well.
And Marky Bay, she's from Philadelphia, so that's always, there's always pride when I find out that certain actors that I've enjoyed are from my hometown. So, yes.
I think that movie has the best, well, the coolest looking zombies I've ever seen.
Yes.
It's amazing. I've never seen anything like that before. So.
Yeah, they don't do it. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, you're right. They are probably the most creative looking zombies. Like, there's typical looking zombies, but then they were super creative. I feel like no one has really tried to match that since. In the way that it was done, so.
Which is surprising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Well, my next one is the movie The House on Skull Mountain. And it came out.
Okay. Real quick, I'm sorry. Where did you find a copy?
Oh my gosh. I remember when I seen it a long time ago because my grandma had it. My grandma was awesome. But I haven't been able to find a copy of it anymore. But the last time I watched it, because a friend had it, this was like 2-3 years ago. But it's I think it was probably like one of those made-for-TV movies. And just basically, there's these family members, like four of them. They go to this mansion that's on top of Skull Mountain because one of their family members died. And as they arrive, you know, everything's fine at first, but then they just, you know, things don't go as awesome, you know, and there's like a skeleton in a robe, you know, but I really liked it. I thought it was cool for its time, and I can't even say if you'll like it or not, because I'm not too sure, but I enjoyed it.
I am dying to see it, so.
I mean, I'll keep my eyes open for it, and I'll let you know if I see it anywhere. I'm surprised that it's not on Amazon.
I haven't looked on Amazon yet. Okay. I'm not, or maybe I haven't, just don't remember. But yeah, because some of the stuff you just cannot find. And some stuff is just, they're out of print. So the copies that you can find are super rare, which means they're super expensive. So
it's all for me. I mean, besides, I did have, you know, JD's Revenge on my list as well. I did like that one. Did you have any more?
Oh, no. I would just say, honestly, just, you know, all you have to do is Google blaxploitation horror, and you're going to get a really solid list. You know, if you haven't seen Blackula yet, that's you have to.
Yeah.
You can't call yourself a horror fan unless you see it. So it's one of those movies.
What's up with that voice?
No, I hear other people do that voice too. I'm not mimicking you.
No.
I promise.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm Scream, Blackula, Scream, because everyone loves Pam Grier. So we're doing that for Friday Night Horror too. So.
Hey, you know that movie Blackenstein?
Oh yeah.
The cover just really makes me mad for some reason.
It's really bad. It's not a good movie. It's a hot damn mess.
It is. But I can't stop watching it. Like, I don't know what it is. But okay. All right. So did you have anything else?
Yeah, I think we covered the big ones. I'm trying to figure out, like, I'm sure there's more. The thing with two heads, that's another one. There's another one called Welcome Home, Brother Charles. This is getting really obscure, and this is when these movies get really wild and out of control. And there's Black Devil Doll.
Oh, have you seen that?
No, because I've read reviews on it, and I'm just like, I don't want to even, I'm good. Yeah. I don't need to see that movie.
What about The Zebra Killer?
No, that sounds familiar, though, but I haven't seen that. Or I've seen a few, but I haven't.
This one called Petey Wheatstraw.
I've heard of that, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I've heard about it as well. I haven't seen it. Now I want to watch that movie, Abby. I want And then, you know what's crazy? Like, can I give a spoiler about Abby or no?
Sure.
All right. At the end of the movie, everything just goes back to normal. Like, she just... Is that what happens? Like, she just lives her life normal again? And her husband's still with her after she was, like, sleeping with everybody?
I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just so outraged. Like, wouldn't you feel terrible?
That's the most Tyler Perry-est Black exploitation horror movie ever.
It was! Oh, my gosh! Okay. All right, well, I think that's it, unless you had something else.
I am good. I would encourage everyone to see these movies because they're great.
Okay. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the slasher Valentine.
Hi, this is Rachel True, and you're listening to Girls Will Be Ghouls podcast.
An Evil Dead TV show? No way.
Negan is coming to The Walking Dead. That's awesome.
Don't you guys think a werewolf series is long overdue?
Oh, hello there. Are you looking for coverage of horror on the small screen that you can't find on any other podcast? Then welcome to Evil Episodes Podcast, where we take an in-depth look at horror around the dial, covering everything from today's hits like The Walking Dead, American Horror Story, and The Strain.
As well as looking back into the TV horror vault to discuss anthologies like Tales from the Crypt, Monsters, Masters of Horror.
Yeah, but do any of those shows have werewolves in them?
What movies will become a TV series next?
Just how many more seasons will every CW show get?
When will they put some damn werewolves on TV?
Tune in to Evil Episodes Podcast for all your horror on television needs and more.
I need werewolves.
Hey, did I mention how Lovecraftian all this actually is?
Valentine was released in 2001. The synopsis reads, 5 women are stalked by an unknown assailant while preparing for Valentine's Day. And it stars Denise Richards as Paige Prescott, David Boreanaz as Adam Carr, Marley Shelton as Kate Davies, Jessica Capshaw as Dorothy Wheeler, Jessica Caulfield as Lily Voigt, Katherine Heigl as Shelley Fisher. Oh, I wonder why that should look familiar. Okay, I'm sorry. Heidi Burris as Ruthie Walker, Fulvio Cesari as Detective Leon Vaughn, Daniel Cosgrove as Campbell Morris, Johnny Whitworth as Max Ramey, Woody Jeffries as Brian, and Adam Harrington as Jason Marquette. So, Zena, you need to start, because...
Okay, you know, I'll start. I picked this movie because I thought that it would be a great alternative for, like, a horror Valentine movie. Because, you know, most people, they go with My Bloody Valentine. And not that there's anything wrong with that movie. It's just sometimes you need to, like, you know, spice up your life and treat yourself to a slasher. And I have to say, I am one of the rare individuals that didn't mind this movie. I'm not madly in love with it, but I like this movie. I remember I wanted to see it so bad. I think I was like 13 or 14 years old and nobody wanted to go. So I had to wait. And then finally, you know, it came out on DVD and I watched it and I was just like, oh my God. But you know, this movie is very, very predictable. I knew automatically who the killer was like right away. It was insane. But you know, I couldn't help but keep on watching the film. So the first start of the movie, it opens up, you know, at an eighth grade dance where this, you know, young boy, he's very geeky, named Jeremy Milton. He's just looking for a girl to dance with. And, you know, girls don't really care for him. He's funny looking. His haircut is bad. And he has bottle cap like glasses. So nobody wants to dance with him. So every single girl he asks, they turn him down, like, get away, loser. And remember what Paige said, how she'd rather be boiled alive. So then he, you know, meets this plump girl named Dorothy. And Dorothy, you know, she's quiet and, you know, none of the other boys seem to care for her, you know, since she's plumped. So they pretty much ignore her. But then, you know, when he asks her to dance, she accepts. And somehow, you know, I guess things were just getting hot and heavy with them on the dance floor. They decide to take it underneath the bleachers and start sucking on each other's face. And, you know, somehow these boys at their school, they see them and, you know, they're like, ooh, you like that buffalo? You know, making fun of them and stuff. And so then Dorothy accuses Jeremy of attacking her. And the boys, you know, they just completely just like rip him from underneath there, strip him down into his little tidy whities. And, you know, it was horrible. And then we jump years later and the girls are all grown up and I won't explain that much, but basically they're getting like these twisted Valentine's Day cards and it's signed and, you know, gifts, ill, and it's signed JM, you know, and then they realize they're being stalked and, you know, one by one, you know, the usual slasher movies and they think that it could be Jeremy. So, I did like the movie. I don't feel like it's the best horror movie in the whole world, and especially because this movie, it came out around the same time. Well, not the same time, but it came out a couple of years after Scream, you know, Wes Craven's Scream. And, you know, it was trying to do something different. And even though it did fail, I do feel like it is like, it's like a true slasher movie. Nowadays, it's like people are so busy trying to like be different or, well, not really. Never mind. Earlier. Well, earlier in the early 2000s, you know, in the late 90s, because of Scream, everybody was trying to do something a little bit different, but still trying to, you know, give that Scream vibe. And, you know, as I said, this movie did try it, but it didn't succeed. And I just feel like people do. They forget about it. And it's like, I feel like it really is a Valentine's Day movie. Like, where it's just like, if it doesn't like rely on decorations. Not that I'm bashing My Bloody Valentine. I do feel like if you were supposed to take away the decorations in that movie, then it would just be a regular old slasher movie, in my opinion. But you take away the decorations and this one, it's kind of hard to, because even with the mask, you know, killer, he's wearing like a Cupid mask, and I thought that was pretty cool. Because they were trying to do something different. And even as far as it goes with the humor of it, I still feel like it has, you know, that 80s lingo kind of thing where basically the women are all kind of like bitter and just mad that they don't have Valentine's Day dates. And the guys are just douchebags trying to get in girls' pants. I don't know. Like, I really like it. I like to watch it, you know, around Valentine's Day, maybe not every year, but I watch it pretty often. So I'm pretty familiar with it. But yes, so that's all I can think of at the moment. So what about you?
Well, this was my first time watching it for this show. And it had been on my radar because, very low on my radar, because I love documentaries, so watching my share of horror documentaries, this, that, and the third, like, you know, Valentine always kind of comes up as, like, the one that, like, no one talks about, that, you know, it's just one of those movies that, like, just got lost in the shuffle with all of the teeny bopper, but like kind of the teen targeted audience oriented horror slasher films in the late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. So I watched it and what the hell? I hated this movie. Like, you know, it's the little things, like, you know, that that mask made his head look like that head with the big body guy from Beetlejuice. Like, his head looked too little for his body. It was just the little things. And the acting really took me out of it. Like, it just, some people's acting was just so bad. It was just like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, when I think to myself, what is bad acting in my head? Like, I just see these movies, like, everyone just kind of over-exaggerating their beats and everything, and the delivery of their dialogue was just like, I just feel like I'm just watching, like, bad old school, like, teen soap dramas that used to come on, like, the early 90s, like, that stuff or whatever. And then, like, it's one of those movies that you feel like you've got figured out, like, 2 minutes into the movie, like, you know what's going to happen, like, this kid is getting rejected, so this is basically Terror Train, Alice Sweet Alice, or Prom Night all over again. It's that kid who, you know, got rejected, he comes back for revenge, yawn. And then the chicks, when they're older, like, I just don't care about any of you. Like, their acting was not as bad as some of the ancillary characters, but it was just bad. I don't care about any of them. And I'm like, who wrote this dialogue? And I'm just like, why am I watching this? This movie felt like it was like 2 hours longer than it actually was. And I just, no. Like, it was just not good. Like, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
It just made me so bad. I just hate when a movie feels like it's longer than it really is. I'm like, this is not a good sign. Where it just feels like filler. True. You're right. It is a slasher film, but it is not, in my opinion, it is not one of the good ones.
Okay.
So.
Nope, you're fine. So, so I take it you don't have a favorite character.
Do not. I like the ending credits as a favorite character.
I like the character that was going into Kate's house in her apartment.
Yeah, see, like that guy. Like, he's not real.
It made me laugh because he was clearly just trying on her underwear. Like, why would you do that? Like, you know? And then he got caught. So it was like, oh my God. But yeah. I'm not gonna lie though. I mean, I think we can give spoilers because this movie, 2001, guys, okay? I liked the ending and how he, you know, kind of put the blame on Dorothy because of after what she did.
I thought they were all in cahoots together, but okay.
Yeah, I really liked that a lot. And it's like at first I felt, you know, I felt bad for Dorothy because, you know, boys didn't like her, and, you know, then finally she was getting the attention, and then she panicked, and okay. So then it's just like now she's all grown up, and she's still trying to, like, have that thing. Do you remember what she said?
I don't remember what she said, but I do remember her.
Okay, all right. She basically, I didn't even ask you which part. I'm just like, you remember what she said, but no. When she was, like, you know, explaining to them that she always wants somebody, why can't she have a turn? Why can't the fat girl have a turn? And it's like, she's not even fat. So it's like, I don't get why she was saying that.
Exactly.
I don't know. Like,
girlfriend, listen. You grow up, you become Adele, you get all the men you want. And like, you're clearly, you come from a super privileged household. Regardless, you know, you the typical rich dad who's divorced, or your mom, or he's a widowed. He's a widow, he marries some young thing, and he doesn't have any time for you. So that's super typical, whatever. But, like, you still are under this huge amount of class privilege. You can buy men. Like, you don't, like, give me a fuck. I'm not buying your drama. I'm just not, okay? There are too many ways to make your life better. And, no. So, go ahead.
No, that's it. Like, I don't know. I was thinking that as well. It's like, she's just like the typical poor little rich girl, you know, and it's like, you actually have friends. So it's just like, for her to be this desperate for men, like, I see that every day, you know, women, especially, because you know it's true, not all women, but there are some women out there, especially on Valentine's Day, they just, I want somebody, you know, but like you said, it's like, I mean, she has so much money, but you know, you heard that saying, you know, of the poor rich person. I don't even want to say girl because it's not just only girls that it happens to, But at first, I just kind of felt bad for her. But then once that, you know, ending happened, it's kind of like, sometimes that just happens. And maybe this is for the best. I mean, it kind of sucks for Kate that all her friends are dead. Like, who are you supposed to hang out with now? What are you supposed to do now? And then I wonder...
Better people.
So, I don't know. So, would you recommend this movie?
Are you really asking me that question?
Yes. Would you recommend it?
No.
Okay, are you sure?
You please watch My Bloody Valentine, the original.
You know, the remake wasn't that bad.
Yeah, you know what? And to be fair, I haven't gotten around to the remake. Okay. But I do want to check it out.
Yeah, it's not that bad. They stick to the storyline. For the most part. So, but let me know if you ever check that out. That could be something cool for you to watch. It should be streaming. I remember seeing it somewhere streaming for free. I don't know if it's still on YouTube or not. I don't know.
My go-to was always Netflix, so yeah, I just haven't gotten around to seeing it.
Okay.
Do you have anything else to say? Because you seem to not defend the movie, but you seem to actually enjoy it. So
I do. Like I love '90s horrors, and this is like a '90s. I know it's not '90s, but you know, still early 2000s, so it still has that vibe. So it's like I love movies that's like that, like this one. It's like, I know that it's predictable, and I know, like, it is cheesy, as I said. Like, the dialogue reminded me from the 80s, but I can't help but love it, because, you know, I just remember that I wanted to see it so bad, and when I finally saw it, it was just kind of like, oh my god, that was kind of bad. But, you know, there's always those movies where it's bad, but you just can't help but love watching it. Like, you can't seem to, like, peel your eyes away from it. And so that's how it is with me for that one. But if you...
Go ahead.
And I was going to say, if you or anybody, well, for people out there, if you're looking for something to watch and you've seen My Bloody Valentine many times, or if you've never seen Valentine, I feel like it's worth a shot, worth a viewing, especially because of... just some of the movies that I feel like that people watch around holidays, like Christmas horror movies, and even like the New Year, there's not a lot of them, but even like the New Year, like horror movies, like some of those that people watch, it's like, I just feel like this is not that bad. I just think that maybe people think that it's bad because it came out, you know, in the 2000s, like it didn't come out in the 80s. Like, I wonder if it did come out in the 80s and people would be like, whoa, I love that movie, you know? So, because it just has that vibe for me, so.
Good point, but see, that's the thing, like, the acting took me out of it so much, and then not to say that there wasn't bad acting in the 80s, but there's something about the way it was just delivered in this movie that I'm just like, no, like, I just can't. Because I was just going to say, because I'm bringing it up because I love this movie and know it so, and I know it so well. I was going to say Nightmare 4. That's not the best acting either. But there's a naturalness to each actor and actress that they bring to the film. There's the naturalness that they bring to their characters. So, like, you can kind of almost excuse it. It's like, okay. Like, even though... you may think the acting is terrible, but it's still. But they still feel like real people, and I think with Valentine, they movies like it, they don't feel like real people. They feel like they're playing a character, like they're caricatures. Like they're not. They seem very empty in a way. Like you're just not buying them as this person. I think that's the problem for me with this movie. But so, because I was going to say, you do have a good point. But then I'm thinking, and I'm just like, the acting in the 80s, at least they seem like, you know, again, I don't want to reiterate the point I'm trying to make. But yeah, I mean, that's the problem. That's the biggest problem I have with this movie.
I mean, I don't know about, like, when I think about Nightmare on Elm Street 4, that Kristen, I'm sorry. Like, you know her acting was bad. Like, I don't believe you. I do not believe you. So it's just like, all right, whatever you say, though, Ashley. So just whatever you say. But yeah, I understand, and I do feel like the acting, it wasn't the greatest. It's just more of like that guy who lived in her apartment. How about a date, Kate? You know, you look great, Kate. And it's just like, yeah, who came up with that?
What is that? Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So what's your ratings for it?
As far as your very shiny, pretty queen skulls, I'm giving it a half.
Okay.
And my Minority Report rating, it is a... Yeah, even with the Asian chick who was the worst. She was the worst. It's still a one. It's still whiter than the... Actually, the 2014 and 2015 Oscars. 2016, I'm sorry. 2015 and 2016, I'm sorry. Oscars. It's a super white movie, but that's okay. That's not any kind of stain on the movie.
Okay.
So.
I'm sorry. You make me laugh. So Queen Skulls, I'm going to give it a 2.5. And then I'm going to Minority Report, I'm going to give it a 2 Kincaid token factor because don't forget Dorothy's maid.
Oh my God!
So she's in Damn. There too. Yeah. So you're done. You're done. Are you sure? There's nothing else you want to share? I know how much you care about this movie.
I'm done.
Okay. All right. So when we come back, we are going to give our recent movie recommendations.
Why do people like to be scared? Some people like hot peppers. You know. Some people like roller coaster rides.
So, recent watch recommendations. So, Zena, I think this is one of yours. I think you actually mentioned this one in an earlier podcast. I haven't got a chance to see a lot of movies over the past couple of weeks, but I did watch... Yeah, I did watch a few. I watched a few, but none of them, like, that I would, like, recommend to anyone. Like, it's just like, you know, it's on Netflix streaming. Watch it, but... I did see Ghost Graduation. Did you see that one
before? Yes, I love that movie.
I really liked it. The only issue I had with it, and it's only because it's a language barrier, is that those subtitles go by so fast.
Yeah, they did.
That was my only issue with it. I need to watch it again because I couldn't catch everything. It was just so fast.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you speak fluent Spanish, God bless you, because there's no way if you don't speak Spanish that you can watch that movie just once and get everything. So I guess it's a horror comedy, but it's just so good. It's so good. I really did like it. So. I'm glad you brought it up earlier. I'm bringing it up again because I finally did get a chance to watch it. It's I don't even know how to describe it. It's interesting. I love stories where, you know, a character possesses some kind of an ability or what have you that they don't even want, that they like they're so they reject it so much, but like they can't, but they reach a certain point in their life, a certain experience where they have to embrace it for not just themselves but for other people. And I really like that idea. And they do it here with being kind of like the ghost whisperer kind of a deal. I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place in a high school, and I don't want to give too much away, but that's kind of like the core idea of this is kind of like that quirky guy or girl who has to really kind of confront with what is this innate power that they have that's going to help other people in the supernatural kind of a cool way. So
okay. So when did you check it out?
I want to say last week. Weekend, I think over the last weekend.
Okay.
It was one of my, you know, need a bedtime movie to watch, and it was one of the ones I could stay up to watch, and happy.
Yeah, don't you love when it does that and keeps you up?
Yeah, it keeps you up. Like, you know, I regretted it the next morning because I was tired, but like I had fun with this one. Mm-hmm. So.
My movie recommendation is, it was kind of hard for me to pick because I've been finding that I've been watching movies that are just crappy. But basically, it's this movie called The Fury. It was made in 1978. And technically, a lot of people just consider it more of a thriller drama, which I can understand why, but I do feel like it does have like horror elements to it. Basically, like this government agent, he wants to rescue his son from this occult that kidnapped him because his son has like these powers, these telekinesis powers. And I watched this probably 2 nights ago, and like you, I was actually just putting something on just so I could go to sleep, and then I ended up just staying up and watching it. I hated everybody in the morning. So yeah, it's one of those supernatural horror films. So if you're into those, definitely check it out. I know that it's new streaming. It just started streaming on Netflix probably this month because I don't remember seeing it back in January.
That's about it. Is there anything else before we wrap this up?
No, not for me.
Okay, well, you can send us questions and comments, as always, to girlswillbeghouls@gmail.com. That's girls will, the full words, plus B as in boy, and then ghouls@gmail. Also, we're on Twitter, too, so you can always leave us a comment or questions or anything like that there, too. That's, what is our, I never remember our Twitter account. I think that's girls, it's girls will be ghouls, but like it's G-I-R. Oh my goodness, I am terrible. Okay. It's GIRLSWIL,
mm-hmm.
And then I think it's B is it B, and then ghouls, the full word ghouls.
Yes.
Right. Okay. That's our. Okay. Sorry. That's our Twitter. I'm so terrible at this, but yeah.
Okay.
Also, we have a website. It's girlswillbeghouls.wordpress.com. You can always leave us a comment there. We did actually get a comment that was left there. By Spike Ghost, I think his name is. So
Spike Ghost.
Yeah. So I'll read it real quick since we got some feedback. It's on our episode 11 that we talked when we talked about when animals dream. So let me see if I can find the comment for crying out loud. Let me see. The comment from Spike Ghost is, I really liked the last shift. So I guess because we were talking about the last shift, but it kind of ended in a big whimper, which was disappointing considering how good and creative everything else was. This year, I'm sorry, they have all the movies I watched for the first time, so I won't forget 90% of them. If you want to suffer through another embarrassingly bad horror movie that looks like it was directed by a porn director, go watch Hellbent by Paul Etheridge. I don't know how I managed to finish this one, though I did enjoy Angel of Death. He did starring Zoe Bell. I always assumed that the townspeople killed Marie's mother, but now you have me doubting. But I think Marie assumed she was murdered. So thank you, Spike Ghost, for the comment. I guess he kind of like talked about like everything that we talked about in that episode for the most part.
Yes.
So
yeah,
I agree with him about writing movies down. I'm doing that too. Like Letterboxd just doesn't help because I haven't played around with it enough, but I'm not figuring out the algorithm to kind of organize it the way I want it to. So I'm keeping like manual tabs on all of the movies I'm watching this year because yeah, it is. This make things much easier for like your end of the year recaps if you want to go back and like remember what you watched and what you liked and what you didn't like. So I agree with that too. Also, one more thing, of course, thank you, Legion. We are a proud member. You can always go to legionpodcast.com and check out all of the other great, interesting, quirky, out there, amazing podcasts with Duncan and Bill Come Correct, The Podcast Under the Stairs, Kiss the Goat, Devour the Podcast. There's so many more that I'm not remembering. My apologies. But yes, go to legionpodcast.com if you're looking for some other great horror or genre podcasts. Listen to. They're excellent.
Hey, and where can people find it? Not your house, but you know.
Yeah. If you look like Dean Winters, you can find me anywhere. But to be perfectly honest, I am on Twitter at Graveyard Sister. I am the founder of the site GraveyardShiftSisters.com for all of your Black women and horror needs. Also, Tumblr is another Black women and horror library. It's GraveyardShiftSisters.com. Also, like the Facebook page, it's facebook.com/GraveyardShiftSisters. And Zena?
And you guys can find me at realqueenofhorror.com and on Twitter, Lovely Zena, and on Facebook, facebook.com/realqueenofhorror, and YouTube. You should subscribe to my YouTube channel. It's fun. You'll have a good time. And the username is Real Queen of Horror.
All right, so we'll see you in March.
Okay. All right. Thanks for listening. usually end with your bio, your piece, and that's when we know that it's officially over.
Oh, I cannot say piece. That is so 2001.
Okay, what do people say now? Audi? I don't know.
Some people have really cool outros.
We need a cooler.
I don't have one yet. I'm not that witty.
Okay.